He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. It is the June 26th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we have a good start to the market today. We'll see if it can hold up. Fridays sometimes can be kind of wacky. They can start off strong and finish slow. They can sometimes start off slow and finish strong. But generally speaking, going into the weekend, traders tend to be a little cautious. So we'll see whether or not this 105-point gain on the Dow right now can hold. That puts us at 17,995. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is up almost 5 points. It's at 2,106. The NASDAQ, up just a little, up a skosh. It's up 5 points. The NASDAQ is at 5,117. Crude oil backing off a little bit, backing off to 58.89. You know, those oil stocks, they're just mired basically in neutral. I think I continue to own one oil stock in all of my holdings here at Gunderson Capital Management. Gold, which I continue to have no exposure to. Gold is at $1,169 per ounce. The euro is at 1.118. As the Greek saga continues, now they're talking about another five-week extension. Boy, I'll tell you, this thing has dragged on for a long, long time. And the 10-year yield, ouch, 2.46%. I want to talk about that today. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And of course, the newsletter is getting ready to go out. This weekend I will cover a very, very important issue, interest rate sensitive investments. And you might think that that only relates to the bond market. Not by a long shot. There are many asset classes just getting butchered right now due to rising rates. Where are we at today? We're at 2.46% on the 10-year. I believe that that's a closing high that we haven't seen in quite some time. As interest rates continue to rise. And yet, you know, most folks think that they should continue to do the same old thing that they've done for the last 10 years in a falling interest rate environment. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. The tide has changed. The wind has changed. The temperature has changed. The currents have changed. It's a completely different ocean out there. And if you continue to do the same old thing that you've done over the last 10 years in a falling rate environment, you're going to have a big, big surprise. And I'm going to cover that in my newsletter. Just like a travel advisory, if you were going to go to La Paz, Mexico right now, I would tell you a few neighborhoods that I wouldn't go into down there because I've been there and I've seen what's happening. The same way in the stock market. As a guy who guides investors through these waters every single day, there's some neighborhoods that you definitely want to stay out of right now. And some of them may surprise you. You may not realize the areas of the market that are impacted by rising rates. It's not just the bond market. So check out this week's newsletter for the areas of the market to avoid at all costs. Now, you say, well, what should I do if my broker or my financial advisor says that I should stay the course? You know, that's up to you. That's all I can tell you is that interest rate sensitive investments are getting clobbered. And they have a lot further to go. Why would I say that? Because we're at 2.46% on the 10-year. Normal over the long haul is closer to 4 or 5%. There's a lot further to go on the upside. And this is that corner that everybody's been talking about for so many years that the Fed has backed themselves into. What they've done by keeping interest rates artificially low and then trying to unwind it is going to hit the income investments much harder than it will ever hit the stock market. Eventually, it will trickle into the stock market and impact the market. But for now, right in the sights of the bashing is interest rate sensitive investments. Meanwhile, Greece, the saga continues. What's going to eventually happen? We hear about last ditch efforts. We hear about ultimatums. We hear about deadlines. And yet there always seems to be an extension. You ever notice how kicking the can down the road seems to be the easiest solution? Well, Tuesday, isn't that Wimpy? Remember Wimpy and Popeye? I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Well, would you have bought Wimpy a hamburger? I guess if he was hungry. He didn't look like he needed it, though. It looked to me like he was more of a moocher than anything. On Tuesday, $1.6 billion is due to the International Monetary Fund. Now, I don't know if they're going to repossess anything and they don't get paid. I don't know what they have as leverage. They're going to ding Greece's credit rating. I don't know what the deal is, but it's due Tuesday. So another time clock is ticking. And what seems to me to be the likely outcome now at this point in time, you know, I laid out all the possible outcomes in my newsletter last week. Greece could leave the Eurozone. The Eurozone could kick Greece out. Greece could join up with Mr. Putin. Europe could cave into Greece, cave into their social justice demands. Or what looks to me to be the most likely scenario right now is another extension. Why not? We've been extending it for 6 years now. Why not extend it again? That would seem to be the highest probability outcome of all of this. And then everything can go on. Everything would be love once again. No resolution. No reforms in Greece. Greece continuing to spend more than they're taking in. But that seems to be, I hate to say it, the most likely solution to this issue that faces us once again. Meanwhile, we've had some good earnings this week. We've had some bad earnings this week. Believe it or not, the second quarter of 2015 is going to close next week. Let's see, this is the 26th, 20th, next Tuesday, right? That's the end of the quarter. And we're going to go through this earnings report season all over again. And what are we to expect from these reports for the second quarter of 2015? Well, I wouldn't be too optimistic because in 2015, quarter two, we still had a lot of the same problems lingering on that we had in the first quarter, but now they're dissipating. We still had oil prices plunging at the beginning of the quarter. We still have a major loss in earnings from the energy companies that make up a good portion, 10% of the S&P 500. We still had a fairly strong dollar at the beginning of the quarter, although it really, really moderated as the quarter went on. We can't really blame extreme weather this time around. I don't remember any blizzards in April or May. I think you may even have a few companies start to blame, and this, mark my words, you're going to start hearing companies say we were hurt by rising interest rates. That's the new phenomenon. Whether it's a real estate investment trust, whether it's a utility, whether it's a mortgage company, whether it's real estate related, whether it's a company that sells big capital goods that require people to borrow money to buy those big capital goods, we're going to start hearing we were hurt by rising interest rates. Well, I don't expect too much. Of course, it's going to come down to company by company, but overall, we should see very little growth in this quarter that just ended. But all signs are pointing right now to a resumption of growth that should be going on about now. We had a lot of breakouts in the market over the last couple of weeks. Had it not been for Greece, we might have seen some really big moves in the market continue. If we can get Greece behind us, I think things look pretty good for the second half of 2016. But as always, we'll go through the numbers in the newsletter this weekend because they hold the key to the future of this bull. Get the newsletter by going to my website at pwstreet.com. That's pwstreet.com. We'll be right back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors of the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNow app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNow app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
right place, but must have been the wrong time.
And welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, where does one go for income these days? You know, a lot of people would just prefer to sit in the bank with a CD, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're a saver and you just don't want to take any risk whatsoever, then you buy a CD and you know about what you're going to get. In the return, you can look up CD rates online, see what you're going to get. A couple things to keep in mind, however. The inflation rate right now is running at about 2.5%. Anybody look at the price of New York steaks lately? I mean, it's out of sight. I know there's a drought and all. Talk about inflation. Gee, I've switched to chicken. Anyways, where's one going to get income? Well, if you're going to hold the bonds to maturity, I've got no problem with that. The worst idea you could possibly have is a bond fund. Okay, they're subject to interest rates. Bond funds are getting whacked. Real estate investment trusts are getting clobbered. Utilities are getting clobbered. What is an investor to do? Well, for now, until things change, the best place to get income, in my opinion, plus the opportunity for a little bit of growth in a tightly managed account, is still good, high-quality, dividend-paying stocks. That still makes sense from a value proposition, and that still makes sense from a relative strength proposition. And one of the areas of the world I like right now, especially if they can get the Greek crisis behind them, is Europe. And the main reason I like Europe is because that sound I hear over there is printing money. Do I agree with printing money to bail yourselves out or to stoke an economy? Not really. The results down the road aren't too good, but in the meantime, you got to go with the hand that's dealt to you. And with Europe printing money, that's favorable to the financials in Europe. There's some ETFs that cover European financials, which is a very narrow little sector, but that's one area that's benefiting right now. In addition to this, financials around the world are benefiting from a rising interest rate environment. So you can stubbornly hold on to your utility. The average utility now is down about 14% over the last few months. I thought utilities for widows and orphans, you say. Not in a rising interest rate environment. Utilities come under fire just as much as the bond market does. Again, the average utility is off about 14% from its recent high on February 1st. So that's in four quick months, bam, down 14%. So what good? I don't want to hear the argument. Well, I'm still getting a 3% yield on my utility. Yeah, but you lost 10% of your principal. Financials, on the other hand, benefit from rising interest rates. Banks, in particular, benefit from rising interest rates. And you throw in the extra kicker of an economy like Europe that's printing money, leads me to like a stock like Barclays. You've heard of Barclays. I mean, you can watch almost any soccer match in England and you'll see the Barclays sign. They're headquartered in the UK. They're an $80 billion company. They're a company that came under heavy pressure during the recession of 2008-2009. In fact, Barclays got cleared down to $2 per share. They owned a lot of that toxic mortgage debt, subprime debt. But now they've got their house in order, a lot better than it was, and they've climbed back from $2 per share to $17 per share. Barclays operates in over 50 countries worldwide. Barclays currently has a dividend yield of 2.3%. So behind door number one is a U.S. Treasury, which today is 2.46% yield. You say, well, why wouldn't I choose the U.S. Treasury? It has a better yield, 16 basis points higher than this Barclays Bank you're talking about, because it has interest rate. It has negative interest rate risk. If interest rates continue higher, that U.S. Treasury is going to continue to go down in value. Yes, you'll still get your coupon, and if you hold it for the entire 10 years, you'll get your entire amount of money back. But if you need to sell it in the interim, or if you own a mutual fund or ETF that owns U.S. government securities, you've seen how badly they've been hit since February 1st when interest rates bottomed, and ever since then interest rates have been going up. I'm going to show you again a 100-year chart of interest rates in my newsletter this weekend, just so you can see where we're at on a relative basis. It looks to me like interest rates could go a lot higher from here, and that does not bode well for that U.S. Treasury that is currently yielding 2.46%. On the other hand, Barclays, which would be one candidate for a diversified portfolio of dividend-paying stocks. I currently own it. I think it's about a 3.5% position overall in the portfolio, is a stock that I own in my growth and income account. Again, it yields about the same as the U.S. Treasury, but the U.S. Treasury suffers during a rising interest rate environment, whereas a bank stock benefits from a rising interest rate environment. Now, let's take a look at the performance of the stock here. Now, this has been a pretty poor performer over the long haul because it had some rough years in there, but lately, it's on fire. Over the last 3 years, it's starting to move ahead of the market now. Barclays has averaged about 18-19%, 18.4 to be exact, while the market's averaged 17. But over the last 12 months, while that money's being printed in Europe, while interest rates are ticking higher, Barclays is up 21%, the market's up 7. And over the last 3 months alone, Barclays is up 14%. While the market's up 2.2, and while interest rate sensitive investments like bonds, like mortgage REITs, like utilities, like real estate investment trust are about down 10 to 14%. Barclays is up 14. You see how it's better to stay on the sunny side of the street than the one that's getting the rain showers and the wind in their face right now from rising interest rates? Barclays is a stock that I own at Gunderson Capital Management. Not a recommendation, but an example of a stock that's flourishing in this environment. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com. Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
So far, we've talked a little bit about Greece and the most likely outcome there, which is, I would say at this time, another extension. Give me a can. Let me kick it. Hear the sound of the can being kicked down the road. That seems to be right now the most likely outcome of this whole big drama, this whole big mess, this whole big standoff that's taking place. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, I think the European markets and European stocks will do really well once they can get that put to bed, at least for, I don't know, for another 5 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever until that time comes again. This has been going on now for 6 years. We talked about a stock that, you know, is not exactly a high little flyer, but it's benefiting. It's getting a double benefit from, one, rising interest rates. While interest rates are rising, and they're rising significantly, this is not, I have warned, I don't know what it was, 6-7 weeks ago, I said a new bear market has begun in the bond market, in the interest rate market, and it doesn't just apply to bonds. It applies to several other sectors of the market that are right in the path of this freight train. And I'll be covering that in my newsletter, and everybody should examine their portfolio and to see if they've got vulnerabilities there. Is their portfolio built right now for a rising interest rate environment? Or is it built to do the same old, which is not going to work because we don't have the same old? The current has changed dramatically. Instead of going north, it's now going south. And if you continue to go north, you're going to get clobbered. It's already taken about a 10 to 14% hit in many of the interest rate sensitive areas of the market, which I have had no exposure to all year long. But there's got to be a lot of people out there that are pretty worried about their portfolio, seeing what's happening to what they consider to be the safest parts of their portfolio. You mean to tell me, Bill, that my utilities are in the line of fire? The average utility is down 14% since February 1st, and interest rates have only gone up a little bit. We're not even close to being back to normal, so you know what? I mean, you can keep doing what you've been doing, but it's not going to work. You're not going to get the same results this time around because the environment has changed. Instead, your portfolio should be built for companies that benefit from rising rates. And I gave an example of one. A company that's headquartered in the UK. Banks are built for rising interest rate environment. And I use the example of a European bank that's also benefiting from money printing, quantitative easing. And it offers about the same yield as a 10-year treasury, yet the 10-year treasury has a lot of risk involved right now, interest rate risk, and the other one benefits from rising interest rates. That makes a big difference. Now, let's talk next about a wild thing, all right? Every once in a while, I have an aggressive growth account that's out there more on the wild frontier. And there's some people that that's appropriate for, and that's the kind of investment style that they want. And one of the stocks that I currently own is a biotech stock, which should not come as any surprise, because the biotech stocks continue to be one of the leading sectors in the market. And I think the whole healthcare, medical-related stock sector is just going to keep on keeping on for now. The big Supreme Court ruling that pretty much has locked Obamacare into place has put a lot more people into the healthcare system. And that's benefiting the hospital stocks, the insurers, the Cignas, the Aetnas, the universal health of the world. And I think biotech is still going to be part of that growing segment of our economy, and we're seeing a lot of breakthroughs in that area. One stock, in fact, I heard Cramer talking about it this morning, is Alder Biopharma, ALDR, which is a stock that I own in my aggressive growth accounts because it's an aggressive growth stock. This company is headquartered in Bothell, Washington, where we're heard every day on KKOL up there. I have a lot of clients, I have a lot of friends, and a lot of listeners up in the Washington area. Well, you've got a nice little biotech up there, Alder biopharma that's trying to get rid of a big headache called migraines. Alder Bio is now a $1.8 billion company. It came public last year at about $10 per share, and it's currently $47 per share. It's a risky one. Number one, it's a small cap. We're not talking about Bristol-Myers Squibb here, but it is a company that's working on new drugs. New drugs for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and their biggest product is migraine headaches. Now, I personally don't get migraine headaches. Oh, once in a while when the market really is reeling, or when one of my sports teams is in like a 10-year or a 10-game losing streak, which is most of the time around here, these parts in San Diego. But I've known people that have been plagued by migraine headaches, and I've had them from time to time. Man, they're debilitating. And if Alder Biopharma can come up with some relief and possibly even a cure for migraine headaches, that would be a wonder drug, wouldn't it? Well, therein lies the risk, because a lot of wonder drugs never panned out. What you don't want to hear is the placebo worked just as well as the proposed wonder drug. That's not good news if you own a biotech stock. That's why I never make one of these stocks in the portfolios that I manage more than 2.5-3% of my overall portfolio. If the company goes bust, that's all I can lose is 2-3%. Of course, I'm not going to write a stock down to go bust, but you just never know with these biotechs. If all of a sudden people say, you know, the placebo worked just as well as the drug they're trying to develop, well, that's not good. And that's what happens from time to time with these biotechs. Well, this stock showed up on my radar screens about a month ago, 2 months ago. It's up 154% in the last 12 months. It's currently one of the strongest stocks in the entire market. My system gives it a momentum grade of A+. The Investor's Business Daily system of relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99, 99 being the highest, it gets a 99 relative strength. All of a sudden, this stock has become the talk of the town, the talk of the stock market. I have a piece of it, a 2.5-3% overall position. We can't put a valuation on it. They don't have a product yet. The stock is up 57% since the beginning of the year, and it remains in a sector that is very favorable in the market. Number one, the medical sector, and even more specifically, the biopharma part of that medical sector. Well, there's a lot of risk, like I say. You know, I generally recommend for people that want exposure to the biotech sector to buy a good biotech mutual fund. Fidelity has a great one. Franklin has a good one. T. Rowe Price has a good one. Sometimes they use the word health science. Sometimes they use the word biotechnology. Or there's exchange-traded funds that cover the biotech sector, which gives you a wide range, a big portfolio of different biotech companies. But for the wild side, buying some of these individual biotechs has been very profitable for me over the years, and I think one of the more promising ones out there right now is Alder Biopharmaceuticals, ALDR. But with it comes an extra amount of risk. That's just the nature of the beast. Well, utilities have risk, don't they? Down 14% since February 1st. Anyways, we'll be back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Lots.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You know, I have people calling me and writing me emails. When is Rob Sanford going to be back on the radio? He was entertaining. Oh, well, thanks a lot. Oh, don't worry. He'll be back on. I could use some a few days off from doing radio so I can get started on my money management a little earlier in the day. So you'll be hearing him along with my son, Stephen Gunderson, who's one of my protégés. We've got quite a little crew working here now at Gunderson Capital Management, so not as dependent upon me anymore. And Rob Sanford, the people love talking to him on the telephone. Sometimes they think they're talking to me, and I just say, you know, hey, I'm the good-looking one. He's got all the brains. I'm the good-looking one. That's how you can tell us apart. But we're both very avid fishermen. We're talking about maybe slipping away on a Saturday. Now, this depends upon the wives. I think his wife, maybe my wife. I don't know which one's crankier. Neither one of them are cranky. They're like, go ahead and go. Get out of my hair, would you? And bring back some fish. I like it blackened in the frying pan. That's how my wife, she loves blackened yellowtails, one of her favorite. And right now the yellowtail are roaming off of the Southern California coastline. I was talking to the guys down in Mexico, Cabo San Lucas and La Paz. Normally the red crabs, which are called tuna crabs, are down there. Right now they're up here. In fact, they're washing up on the beaches of California. And those yellowtail, which are about, you know, the average yellowtail is about 15 pounds, but they go up to 45, 60. They're a member of the jack family. They're not a tuna. A lot of people confuse a yellowtail with a yellowfin tuna. They're not a tuna. They're good, fresh on the barbecue. My wife likes a little blackened seasoning and then cooked in a hot cast iron skillet with just a little butter in the bottom. That was the method, you know, that was invented by Paul Prudhomme down in Louisiana, one of the famous Cajun chefs. I still buy Paul Prudhomme's Cajun Magic seasonings, sprinkle it liberally on my yellowtail or salmon or whatever fish. A lot of fish lend themselves to this blackening process. Put it in that hot skillet. Be sure and turn on the fan. And be sure and warn the neighbors, and be sure and not do it too close to the smoke alarm, because you might evacuate the whole neighborhood with the smoke that comes from this process. But, you know, blacken it, get a nice crust on there, and it's spicy. It's on the spicy side. Then you flip it over, get a nice crust. Do not overcook it. That's one of the cardinal sins. When I go to a fish restaurant, if they overcook my fish... Me being a fisherman, Sanford says the same thing. We're fish snobs. We know what it's like to catch a fish, to throw it right on ice. A good fisherman always has an ice chest with ice or a hold with ice because you want to treat that fish like it's gold because it is. You think New York steak is expensive. Go to the local fish market. We've got a fish market here in San Diego called Point Loma Seafoods, which is a place to visit if you ever come to San Diego. They have the best tuna fish sandwich because it's on homemade sourdough bread and it's fresh tuna that's been baked in the ovens and cooked. There's no cans involved. But the price of fish nowadays, you know, I was looking at one the other day, $45 per pound for salmon coming from the Alaska area, wild salmon. Holy cow! I mean, what's gold? $12, $1,200 per ounce. That's where we're headed with fish prices these days. But a good fisherman throws his fish right on ice and takes good care of it. On the way in, we sharpen our knives till they're razor sharp, and we try not to waste any. We're good environmentalists. Try to keep a sustainable resource. And we get it all boned and deboned and filleted, and then it's ready for the barbecue. It's ready for the smoker. it's ready for the frying pan. So we'll see if we can drum up a fish report. It's gotten so difficult. When we go fishing off of San Diego, you go out about 10 miles and you're in Mexico. And Mexico's gotten real snotty about stopping you, making sure you've got a passport, making sure you've got a visitor's permit for the day, making sure you've got a license for your radio. They board your boat. Guys carrying machine guns and whatnot can be a little unnerving on a nice fishing trip. They've made things a little more difficult for us. So anyways, the fish are starting to arrive in San Diego, and who knows, if I get this newsletter done, we'll get that thing out. It's a good one. I wrote a big article about the neighborhoods to avoid in the market right now. What could be more valuable than that? Do not go into these neighborhoods. And yet, you know, I've had several accounts transfer to me recently. Guess what they're full of? Interest rate sensitive investments, instruments. And I'm wondering, is anybody on the other end of this account? Were they watching the world, and were they watching stocks? Well, it was built for high dividends. You know what? That is the eye of the hurricane. If you take a mortgage REIT that's yielding 12%, what a sucker bet that is. They're absolutely getting clobbered, and they're in the crosshairs of a rising interest rate environment. And there's going to come a time at some point in the future, I don't see that day yet, when I tell you to avoid the stock market at all costs. So there's different ways, different people look at the market in different ways. There's modern portfolio theory that says you buy your asset allocation, you lower your risk, and you get maximum performance with the least amount of risk. Well, you know, you could get a little bit better performance if you avoid the bad neighborhoods when they come along. You take a 53% hit in the stock market, and even modern portfolio theory doesn't hold up well under that one. You take a 25-30% hit to the bond market, and how does your modern portfolio theory work anyways? To each his own. We do things differently here. PWStreet.com or 855-611-BEST. This is Bill Gunderson, not Rob Sanford, but you'll be hearing from him soon. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.